Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hello, hello, hello. I'm Fat Albert. Nope. Oh, no. Bill Cosby is not part of the female gaze. Oh, God.
Redo.
Jesse Katz.
Redo.
Fire me now.
Redo.
Welcome to the Female Gaze Podcast. I am Jesse Katz. Joined by
Alana Rodriguez.
Here for your weather and traffic report.
You know, I used to be the weather girl in college.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
I was a broadcast journalism major. Shout out Syracuse. And one of our classes, you had to like rotate.
Uh-huh.
And I only thrived as the weather girl because I just was not, I was not good anywhere else. But I was great at being like, it's going to rain today, you know?
You should start doing that for this show then, I guess.
I will.
That'll be our new segment. Okay, be prepared
girl.
Next time to talk about
the
weather.
Can't wait.
Very excited for you to hear today's episode. We have an awesome guest, Miss Eves, in the house.
Ow!
She's such a badass and also was just an amazingly chill, fascinating person to talk to. So we loved having her in. She has a new EP out called Me AF. Is that, you're supposed to say
it
like
that,
right?
I like how you said it. I think you need a little more like, Me AF.
Yeah, I can't do that. That's what you're here for.
Me AF.
And last year she had a full-length album out called Feminasty. She also has a new single out called Santa Please. It's not what you think. It's actually a request for Santa to deliver a little impeachment for the holidays.
Yeah.
We love it. You guys should check it out. So she will be here talking to us about all of that and how she became this iconic hip-hop artist, feminist, badass that she is today.
Yeah.
But first, we're going to kick off with our new favorite segment, Float Your Boat.
Toot toot.
And we're adding a flip side to the segment, which is called Be in Your Bonnet.
Okay, I need to give some context because Jesse loves
sound
the
effects.
Phrase. First of all, sound effects. Yes, so I'll be doing that. But also these like cutesy little like Be in Your Bonnet, Float Your Boat. So the agreement is I get to do the sound effects and I have decided that for Be in Your Bonnet, it's going to be buzz, buzz, bitch.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Okay, whatever you need to do
buzz.
To feel comfortable with my lame phrases. I was actually thinking about that this morning. I was like, these names of segments are so fucking lame. This is probably so embarrassing for Alana to be affiliated.
That's why I need to. First of all, no, I think that you are just special. You're special. But
thank
I
you.
Think, so the whole point of the bee in your bonnet, which is
Wait.
Okay, guys, go. You,
in defense of that phrase, I just think it's a phrase that is so perfectly illustrative of what it is describing, which is the idea of a thing that is fucking annoying and you just cannot shake it, right?
Totally.
So having a bee trapped inside your bonnet is the most annoying
thing. Who's wearing a bonnet?
You know, they were a fashion item once and everything comes back again, so get ready.
Okay, so 2024 when we're not on the radio. I only gave us 5 years. Is that math? 2024, 2018, 19, 20, 21.
Is 2024 5 years?
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Okay, anyway. Anything else to add?
I'm done.
Okay.
I quit.
So should we just get to the segments
please.
Today?
Yeah.
Okay, so I think both of our Float Your Boat picks for the week are actually responses to a little bit of feedback that we heard from one of our listeners who questioned why Alana and I haven't been a little bit more forthcoming about our personal lives on the podcast. And I think what this listener was referring to specifically was our sexuality, just to kind of ground everyone in where we're coming from.
Interesting.
Yeah. And this is something that I actually, you and I had talked about before we started the show. We said, should we just say, you know, in the first episode, like, I'm Jessica Katz, I identify this way, these are my pronouns, my sexual identity, all of that. And then we decided, no, it'll probably, like, just come out as we're talking and
natural.
We don't need to, like, put it out there so blatantly. But if people are wondering, I understand that, too. I don't want it to be a question mark on anyone's minds, like a distracting thing, trying to, you know, figure out whatever. Not that it's that interesting, but anyway.
No, I get it. I get it. Yeah, yeah, I get it.
So, but I do think because these days the personal is the political, right? Especially if you're a woman or especially a queer woman, and you and I both identify that way, then it is important for people who are comfortable sharing those identities and experiences to do so. So yeah, we're happy to do that. Alana and I have both dated men and women in that order, as many queer women do. And that's how we identify. So yeah, that's that. Okay. So that all is relevant for my float your boat today, because to get personal, I just found out that my ex-girlfriend has a new girlfriend, which is great. I'm very happy for them. She and I broke up mutually. We were on very friendly terms, have been on friendly terms. It's awesome. I think it's very healthy for both of us that she's moved on. Apparently, they are pretty serious, actually, which, you know, is a word choice that was a little TMI for me. But, you know, great. That's awesome. So in honor of this moment of me receiving this news and, you know, starting a new chapter in my life, I wanted to read a little portion from a book that I'm reading. And this is my pick for Float Your Boat, to finally get to the fucking point here. So it's Abby Jacobson's book, I Might Regret This. Abby Jacobson is, of course, the co-creator and star of Broad City. She wrote a book that is about her real experience going on a cross-country road trip by herself after having her heart broken by her first girlfriend. And this book has had me laughing out loud and also wincing because a lot of it is all too real in a great way. So that includes this part that I want to share, which is Abby imagining what her ex's life is like now that they have broken up.
Oh, I like that.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Okay. And hopefully Abby will come on the show at some point and she can read her own
Abby.
Excerpts of her own
Abby,
book.
If you're listening.
Yeah, I'm not going to do this justice, but just so you know, I'm such an admirer. This is why I'm doing this. Okay, here we go. It's unbelievable how happy my ex-girlfriend is. There isn't anyone happier in the history of people or happiness. It's a modern miracle. Her day-to-day is jam-packed with boundless joy, and she's never felt more fulfilled or satisfied in her whole life. She dances to places instead of walking. Her face hurts from smiling. Every coin she sees on the street is face up, and she gets triple punches on her coffee punch card every time, no matter who is the cashier that day. She's fucking all the hottest, smartest, funniest people, and they're doing stuff in bed I haven't even heard of. She's keeping all her plants alive, and not only that, flowers are blooming out of plants that don't even grow flowers. She's moved on in a way that has somehow deleted any trace of our relationship and found herself in a land of abundance, chock full of perfect dates and new romantic adventures. It's astounding how well she's doing. I can't believe it. And not only in love, but also with work, with friends, intimacy, fashion, even bagels. There isn't one area of her life that hasn't improved since we dated.
Mic drop.
Mic drop.
This is when I just knock the mic off the table.
Yeah, so that's from I Might Regret This by Abby Jacobson. My float your boat. It is floating my boat in all the great and painful ways.
Is that, if we're getting personal, is that how you feel? Are you feeling those feelings?
No, but I think when you find out that your ex has a new person, I think one of your first reactions is always, well, good for fucking them. Even if you were the one who broke up with them or whatever, even if you're dating somebody new,
totally. There's
always that moment of like, oh, well, okay. I never existed basically. Okay.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those things where the chapter's literally and figuratively, it's done.
Yeah.
So
it's
pretty serious, actually.
It's pretty serious, actually.
We should hashtag that. I think what's so funny is because how long has it been since they were dating? A few months now?
2 months.
2 months. And it's pretty serious, actually. That makes me laugh.
Insert U-Haul joke there.
But, you know, lesbians. I have U-Hauled. You have U-Hauled.
We all been there.
We all U-Haul.
We all U-Haul.
That's a
together.
Great boat to float. I really like that.
Okay, what's yours?
Okay, so mine is also in response to some feedback that we've received, and it makes me laugh because I get this a lot. I get this a lot. It's Alana, why do you fucking curse so much? Like, apparently it's distracting.
I don't think the people asking that are saying fucking, by the way.
Probably not.
That would be very hypocritical of them.
My sister said
you couldn't even repeat their question without cursing
it. It's who I am inside. The issue, and since I was a kid, I remember, like, my dad would walk around the house, and he would, instead of motherfucker, he'd say, like, motherflower. Like, he'd say stuff to, like.
Oh, wow.
I know, but I still did it. And my mom always said, like, you're never going to find a boyfriend if you have, like, a mouth of a sailor. Now it's just, like, endearing to her, I guess. But anyway, point is, because I'm going on a tangent, is Jesse actually sent me this article. It's called Do Men Find Women Who Swear Unattractive? And I think this is really interesting. And it's funny that it specifically says men, because I'll get into a little bit. But obviously, like, that doesn't really apply romantically for me right now. I think it does apply, obviously, in, like, the workplace. Like, I say fuck. Like, I have been in pitch rooms where I've been like, you know what? And that's just, it's going to be fucking great. You know, right. And I've said stuff like that. And I think people now are used to, like, this is the personality we're bringing into the room. I can't help it. But mm-hmm. Is it a turnoff? Like, probably. Probably. But what floats my boat about this article featured in Metro, the writer, her name is Fahima Bakar. I hope I pronounced that right. Shout out, Fahima. She says something that's super interesting that totally floated my boat. Did float my boat. Floated my boat.
Floated your boat.
Floated my boat. She says, quote, but it's disturbing when women especially are told that swearing is unattractive or that it's too masculine because it presupposes that women have a duty to appear attractive. We do not.
That's right.
It's, you know, it. I think that's such an interesting thing to say, and I think it's so true because people automatically, like, you are now defeminizing, like, the English language. You are now taking ownership as, if you are a man, you are taking ownership of the dictionary, saying, like, these words are for the men. And if women interpret or choose to use these words, you are less ladylike. You are less of a woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, some of the men in the article were like, yeah, it just makes me feel really uncomfortable. Like, all of a sudden, they're like a dude. You know, and I've gotten that. I've had people say, specifically men, like, oh, man, you move like a dude. Like, you act like a dude. And I'm like, because I talk like this? What do you mean? Like, I don't know. Like, that it's part of me that's never going to change. I think it's whether or not it makes me more or less attractive in your eyes or more or less, like, moving like a dude. Like, I kind of, like, don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
I think that women should be able to claim these words and, like, femme them up if that's what the issue is.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, let's just be equal and all say fuck, shit, dick, cunt, like, whatever we want to do. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I think it's just interesting that people still, like, when they hear a woman curse, it's like, ooh. Like, you know,
yeah.
you're something, like, prickles on
it
the back
stands
of your
out.
Neck. Yeah.
Although I would imagine, and to our male listeners, and I know several of you are people that I work with every day, and shout out to you guys.
Shout out, dudes.
My favorite listeners. I would imagine some of you find that attractive. I think it also is sometimes a turn on. But either way, it doesn't fucking matter because we're not doing it for you.
Yeah.
And so I have, like, many questions about this. One of them is that, is it that cursing sounds like anger? Because I know men also find anger in women to be unattractive.
Off-putting.
Whereas we're supposed to see it as something, like, attractive in men. But you would just as easily say, like, can I have a fucking cup of coffee? And there's no anger. It's just an adjective. So
I think it's also about, like, vulgarity and going back to, like, women need to be these, like, demure, pristine little Persian princess,
sure.
like cats. Not Persian princesses, Persian cats. Persian cat. So sorry. You know what I mean? Like, we have to be, like, cute and pretty and, like, baby smooth. And, like, anything that we say that is, you know, remotely offensive is, like, vulgar. Like,
right.
that woman is vulgar.
Right. Fuck that.
Fuck that. Sorry, sis.
I love you. Don't ever change. I have not noticed your cursing at all. So every time I hear this bit of feedback, because it's come from several sources,
I know.
I've been very surprised.
Fuck me up,
and
dude.
I really love it. So I also
I'm
encourage
sorry,
our listeners
guys.
To get comfortable with women cursing.
Yeah.
Let's just all
Let's
let
embrace
it fly.
A big warm hug.
That's right. Okay, time for Bee in Your Bonnet.
Buzz, buzz, bitch.
Okay. Should I go first, or you want
to? I'll go first.
Yeah.
Although I was just talking for a lot, so maybe
no,
you.
But you have a better voice. Let's hear it.
Oh, okay. So obviously, again, to preface, be in your bonnet. Something that's irking you. Something that's bothering you for the week.
Uh-huh.
I had a hard time with this, but I think this week, I want to talk about how sometimes taking the high road is annoying. It's annoying. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, and this applies in any setting. Like, let's say it's at work. And there's, like, a coworker who's just being, like, a little fucking snake. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Or, like, let's say you have, like, old friends, a friend group. I don't know. Like, people that are just being petty. It's annoying when you hear or you're in, like, certain situations where you really do kind of, like, have to take that, quote, high road. And it's just, like, really annoying because sometimes you just want to not do that. But at the end of the day, like, what is that going to solve, right? Like, whatever issues you're having at work or in your personal life, like, what is that going to do for you to stoop and be petty? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It's just there's nothing that bothers me more than feeling like I have a loaded gun in my back pocket full of petty ammunition that I can't just take out, shoot, and fire. You know what I mean?
Well, why can't you?
You know, it's just I don't want to be that person across the board. You know what I mean? Like, I really see value in positivity and just like at the end of the day, bottom line, like, I'm really fucking happy in my life right now.
Uh-huh.
I really am. And it's like the little things that come, you know, here and there that poke and poke. It's like, what is that going to do for me? It's going to just make me feel shitty.
Yeah.
And for what reason? You know what I mean? Because like, listen, at the end of the day, like, there are so many times where I've wanted to go full Eminem kill shot mode. You know, like, what's that line that he says? He says, because you're a fucking molehill and I'm going to make a mountain out of you. You know, when he says that, I'm going to make a mountain out of you. You know how many fucking mountains I'd want to make in fucking life? You know, whether it's like bullshit you're dealing with in whatever aspect, I would be making mountains. There would be a Rushmore times two. Give me a Fuji, a Kilimanjaro. You know what I mean? Like,
do you think as a woman you have to take the high road more than men do?
Yeah, I think so. I really do. And I think that it's a lot of biting your tongue. You know what I mean? Like, let's say you're in a corporate environment and there's, you know, men around you that are saying things that are just like irking you.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily pettiness, but just like irkiness, like low blows. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you just kind of like, at what point, like, there's so many times where I just want to say, like, you know what? Like, you don't need to wave your big dick around here. Like, I don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? But what is that going to do for me?
Sure.
You know what I mean? And in your personal life, whether it's like people that you used to be friends with, like, you know, there's always like that best friend group and people like fall apart or whatever it is, or even like exes and stuff. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, people in general get salty and things happen and, you know, jabs are thrown left and right. And in my opinion, like, you win overall when you don't say anything. You
know? That's the long game.
It's the long game.
It's so hard in the moment, but
it's
the better play.
It's hard in the moment, but, like, I want to always do to others as I would have them do to me. I always want to be respectful.
Yeah.
Unless you, like, truly come for me, like, come fully loaded. Like, don't forget petty, because I can be petty. I can be princess petty. I can get nasty. But if you come for me direct in front of my face, like, I'll fuck you up for sure.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's more a matter of that, like, psychological warfare that people try to pull on you. And it's just like, what the fuck's that going to do?
Yeah.
Like, I'm happy.
Right.
Let me fucking live, you know? No big dicks. No nothing.
Well, I hope that whatever put this particular bee on your bonnet this week buzzes off.
I hope it all buzzes off,
and that
too.
You win this long game.
Yeah, I think I will.
I have faith in you.
Thank you.
I wouldn't want to be up against you.
I mean, come on. Come on.
You're intimidating.
I'll fuck you up.
That's right. Okay, my bee this week.
Buzz, buzz, bitch.
My fucking bee in my bonnet is the phrase girl crush. It drives me nuts. And I spent some time this morning trying to figure out why, because it was really hard for me to put my finger on it.
Tell me why.
I hope you'll help me work through this, but I think it has something to do with, well, two things. I don't want to hear a phrase that does not also work when applied to men. So until I hear straight dudes talking about how they have boy crushes on other dudes, this is annoying to me. And even then, it's like, what are we afraid of? Why can't you just say that you have a crush on somebody?
It's almost the equivalent when you just said that about men, when they go, no homo, bro, but that dude's good looking.
Yeah, so I actually don't like that either. I think we should not say it either way.
Agreed.
Like, so my friend said to me the other day, she said, I have a girl crush on J-Lo. And I was like, okay. And she was like, not even on her generally, but like, physically. I have a girl crush on her physically. So first of all,
welcome
friend,
to the party.
That's called a crush. Okay. And just accept the fact that if your husband gave you a cheat day, you would go sleep with J-Lo. That is great. No one on this planet is going to give you a problem for that. Mm. We all understand and relate. You have a crush on J-Lo. You don't have to qualify because that... That is exactly what it is. It's mm-hmm. the no homo.
For
no
girls.
Homo, I want to fuck J-Lo.
Yeah.
No. Not necessary.
Yes, homo.
Yes.
Yeah, fuck J-Lo.
Be confident in your own place on the spectrum.
Yes.
And just say you have a crush on J-Lo.
Right.
Or say you admire her or you think she's brilliant or whatever other way you want to word it. I don't care.
Right.
But don't give me this, like, middle road girl crush bullshit.
Right. And I hear that all, like, girl crush, but, like, you know, like, you hear that all the time and you're like, okay, real crush.
Right.
General crush.
Right.
Like, let's all crush. You don't say boy crush.
Right.
You know what I mean? If you're a cis straight woman.
Yeah. Also, I wonder if it,
or not
if cis. It, like, reminds me of times, like, hang out with a bunch of straight friends and they're all like, oh yeah, like, I have such a girl crush on Megan Fox, and you're the only one in the group is thinking, yeah, but I'd fuck that.
I like how uncomfortable you got before you said that. You went,
I know.
Fuck that.
Because that's my internal monologue.
My God.
No, I was actually thinking if I wanted to say that about Megan Fox. She's really hot. There's also been this really interesting conversation happening on Twitter over the last couple of weeks. And I think there was an article written about this, which kicked it off, which I'm sorry that I can't specifically cite right now, but about how the male critical response to Jennifer's Body totally killed that movie's momentum and kept its intended audience away from it.
Mm.
And how it's actually this amazing feminist film that, like, everybody should adore,
yeah.
except for men who weren't into it because it wasn't for their pleasure.
It was probably too smart.
Yeah. So I encourage everyone to revisit that movie, and Megan Fox is great in it. Anyway.
We'd fuck.
And she is a crush, not a girl crush.
Right.
Yeah.
Disclaimer.
Yeah. Okay. So that's my B for the week.
I really like this segment.
I like it too.
It's fun.
It's great.
You know, it's like the rose and the thorn.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, just quickly going back to pettiness, is I had to center myself, and shout out to my best friend, Maddie, who I remember when we first were talking about the bee in the bonnet, and I was like, I got a bee. You want to hear this bee? And I went off on my bee, and I was like, you know what? Because, like, I'm just, like, not a petty person. And, like, I went off on my rant, and I was like, so I'm going to talk about this. And she looks at me and she goes, you know, everything that just came out of your mouth was petty, like, petty as fuck. And I had to, like, take a step back, and I was like, fuck, there is nothing more petty than being petty on a podcast publicly. A public pettiness. You know what I mean?
Was I publicly petty today?
No, not at all. I actually thought you were very PG.
Okay.
I'm like, doubt your ex-girlfriend is listening. And if she is, like, I'm sure it's very serious.
Okay, programming note, guys. At the end of the year, on the last day of 2018, we are going to be posting a special year in review episode
yes.
featuring some very brilliant journalists who are bringing us their top picks from the year. And I just want to mention that because the biggest feedback we've gotten on the show so far, it is not Alana's cursing.
No.
It is not the volume of our voices. It is not how hot we are. It is this debate over the song Shallow from A Star Is Born.
Oh,
you guys
God.
Are crazy. I mean, I love it. Obviously, we enjoy this debate, which is why
it's
keeps
so
coming
good.
Up. But you guys are in on it, which we really appreciate. So, first of all, tweet us, DM
yes.
us
Keep
all
doing
your thoughts.
It. We're getting
Shallow versus I'll Never Love Again in the validity of Shallow as a pop radio song.
Yes.
Anyway, so you better believe that we are going to ask our guests on that year-end episode what they think of Shallow.
Tell me something, boy.
Get ready for
That's
it.
That's what we're going to do. I'm just going to keep serenading. That's the plan. It's so funny. Everyone is like, yo, A Star Is Born? Like, why are you guys even I got texts over that and I was like, okay, but what about pronouns? What about pronouns?
Alana wants people to be as worked up about pronouns as they are about that movie, but we'll get there.
We'll get there.
We're all evolving.
Are you trying something? Feel that.
Oh, God.
That.
Okay. Well, I'm going to sing the other song next episode, so get ready. That's a belter.
No.
You're going to be crying in your headphones.
Balling. And you're going to be pretending that you're just singing to everyone that's ever wronged you.
I'm just singing to you, boo.
Oh, thanks.
For when you wrong me in the future.
I will
never. You can always remember that song.
Always Remember Us This Way. Great song from The Star Is Born.
Jesus.
Mike,
podcast
drop.
Brought to you by Bradley Star. Cooper. Okay, so coming up next, the brilliant, the one and only, Miss Eves.
Miss Eves.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Happy to be here today.
So happy to be
here. We have
a
guest in house who I had the immense and unexpected pleasure of seeing perform at the House of Yes a few months ago now. I was there, it was the night before my birthday, and it was a party for Bust Magazine, who are having a 25th anniversary?
25th.
Yeah. And my friend Mandana was there, my very new friend, and I didn't realize but would quickly learn that Mandana has only the coolest friends, including one of the performers that was performing that night, Miss Eves. So I was introduced to you and to your music for the first time that night.
And that's great.
It blew me the fuck away.
What a fucking moment.
It was so awesome.
That's so good to hear.
So hi.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Welcome.
Yeah. So when we launched this podcast and I was thinking who would be perfect to have on the show and that I might actually have a chance of booking because maybe I know somebody, I thought of you.
Great. Well, I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. And you're also waking up with us on this
rough
morning.
I'm a freelancer, so I don't get out of bed before like 9, and I don't take off pajamas before like 5 p.m. My roommate's like, I'm coming home. I'm like, okay, I'll shower.
Well, that's a nice roommate, actually. I don't think I've ever showered for a roommate.
I mean, I just would feel like a slob. Like, I'm still wearing the same dinosaur onesie I was the night before, so I'm like, let me just at least put on a fresh
Change
onesie.
Change it up.
Yeah, not even look cute, just put on a fresh onesie.
Right. Replace. Just so you guys know, also, Miss Eves is wearing the most amazing leggings you'll ever see in your life.
They're Describe green. Them since it's a podcast.
They're green.
Go on.
I was going there.
Okay,
Jess.
Sorry.
Don't look at me with those
just
eyes.
Just reminding you.
They're green. They have Frida Kahlo's face printed all over them, and they are fucking rad. And when I asked her where she got them, she said that she made them online. So I'm jealous. But here we are.
We don't have
just. We wanted to give you guys a visual of what's happening this morning. That's all.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. I would like to read a little description of you that is actually just from your website.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe you wrote it, but it's so well articulated.
Yeah, I like got a friend to write, or several friends wrote it over time,
but I was like, this
needs to be really like fun.
And it's perfect. So, okay, because I read it and I was like, well, whoever wrote that has articulated this better than I'm going to, so I'm just going to steal it. So
do it in your best stage voice.
It's a good start.
Get it together.
Okay, ready? Her fierce, femcy, electro-pop, rap, dance explosions celebrate confident women who aren't afraid to love themselves and own their sexuality, all with a take-no-shit attitude that pushes back at the patriarchy, haters, and anyone else who tries to keep her down.
Ow!
Boom! And that's exactly what your music sounds like in your whole, I hate to use the word brand, but you do more than just music. You're a whole thing.
I'm a visual artist, too. So, like, I went to art school and design school, so that's, like, my main background, and then I got into music later.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so many questions. Well, so you got into music, when you say later, like in the last 5 years?
No, like for 10 years.
Okay,
but later after I like, it wasn't when I was in college when I was doing it. Like I started doing music after I graduated from college.
Okay.
So like, I mean, I was always into art and things like when I was in like high school and like even when I was like a child, my parents were like really good at fostering a good arts education, so they would give
That's
me
awesome.
Like take me to drama camp. I like went to like claymation camp and like
oh my god.
Yeah, they were really I was like in dance classes and it was really cool. And then I went to design school for college, and then when I graduated, I started working as a designer. But then I like a few years later, that's when I started making music.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And was your visual art also this like very pro-women, pro-sexuality, body-positive vibe, too?
Well, my visual art, it's very political. So it's been described as political cartoons. I don't make it as much anymore. Mm-hmm. But it was just basically, I had a site when I graduated from college called Informed Revolution. So every week I would make a new visual reaction to what's going on in the world. So okay. they would be like these really political illustrations that I would do.
Uh-huh. Like, what's an example of a political illustration?
One is just, like, a family, like, sitting around a table and all their faces were just completely blank, like, no features. And then there's the color bar. I mean, no one knows about this now, like, the TV color bars. That
oh, yeah, yeah.
When
totally.
It's, like, not working.
Right. Oh, I remember.
Yeah.
Cool. And when did this kind of... when was the political artist born in you? Like, did you always have that lens on the world?
I think it was just when I realized I was in such a bubble and I was just, like, ashamed of myself. It was when Katrina happened and then, like, 3 days had passed and I was, like, I had no idea that that was going on. And then I was, like, wow, there's been 3 to 4 days of people just suffering and I've just been, like, oblivious and living in my own world. Yeah. And I was, like, girl, you got to do better.
So
you know?
What were you doing that year?
That year, I had just graduated.
Okay.
Yeah.
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 So you were just doing so like, early 20s
twerk off.
Yeah.
You know, I was just like in my own world, you know, just having a good time. But I was like, I need to be more aware socially and politically, and I shouldn't just be so selfish because I felt really bad because I'm just like, I'm a very privileged person. And the fact that like I am so privileged that I can just like ignore and like put blinders on to other people suffering. Mm-hmm. That's a problem. And I'm like, that has to be a problem with a lot of people in my generation. So that's why I started Informed Revolution. So I was like, if I'm suffering from this and I'm a very like nice and conscientious person, I'm sure there's lots of other people who are having the same issue where they're not like
Yeah. Wait, that's so interesting. You say that. I had that same experience with Katrina because I had also just graduated from college. I was living in New York for the first time and Katrina happened on my birthday.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking like, oh my God, another hurricane over my birthday. It's all anyone wants to talk about.
Yeah.
I've never lived through a natural disaster.
Right.
And I didn't understand the magnitude of Katrina at all, obviously. So I remember my first reaction being like, ugh, this is like really depressing news story that's happening. Happening today.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then after a few days being like, oh.
This is so serious.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. So it was just like an evolution from that.
Yeah.
Like I started like painting on just like trash surfaces because I'm also wanting to think about how much we waste. So I would just take old cabinet doors and like doors and like do these collages on it. So one, it was called Target Practice. And I took this photo of my friend who's just like in her underwear and I put a target like over her crotch area and there's like a beaver in the center.
Love that.
You know, because it's just like that was at the time. I mean, it's still going on, but like a lot of like the Tea Party was like trying to take away women's rights to choose and a lot of women's reproductive rights. And so
now the Tea Party is just the Republican Party.
Yeah. Now they're literally just the Republicans. And Noam Chomsky, he said that the Republicans are the most dangerous organization to ever exist in human history. And I'm like, yeah, I feel that because it's really bad.
Yeah. They're coming for us.
Yeah.
And the environment. I mean, they just don't care. They're going to like they're the only people like only group in human existence that's making it. Impossible for humans to exist.
Right.
Because of how they're engaging with the environment.
Right.
Yeah.
Either because that is their explicit agenda or they are complicit and they're letting it happen in their own party.
Exactly.
Yeah. Where are you from?
I'm from North Carolina.
Okay.
So I've only been in New York for 5 years. So I lived in North Carolina. Yeah, I lived in North Carolina. I'm like country bumpkin.
Hey.
It comes out. Like me and my roommate, we were in the car, like driving back from like the show I was playing on Saturday and I just started talking about chitlins and all of a sudden my southern accent came out. It's like there's certain things.
Hold, what's a chitlin?
Chitlins? Yeah. Oh, they're pig intestines.
Oh
yeah,
like
it's like a southern, not like I wouldn't say, I guess I would say it's a delicacy, but some people are like repulsed by it. But
is it fried like a chicharron?
No
no,
no, it's
okay,
not.
Yeah, no, fuck
it's like it's like stewed and you put it over rice. Yeah, it's
okay.
I mean, it has a flavor.
Yes,
I mean,
it's winter.
Yeah. It's not like it's something that's like I'll eat once a year with my family because I don't really eat a lot of meat, but like there's something about like chitlins. I'll eat that with my family like once a year, like on Thanksgiving, and I'm like, check.
Good.
Yeah. Ate chitlins. Now I can just have kale smoothies for the rest of the year and be good.
So you're on the road trip. You're talking about chitlins. And what happened?
I just started like talking so southern. My roommate was like, girl. I was like, and then I get some fried chicken and biscuits. She's like, what's going on here? Jumped out.
Like, who
are
who
you?
I
know. I'm like,
this is who I am
inside.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
No greater place to be than New York City. Well, because I love New York City, but such a place to like really be yourself. It's the ultimate melting pot, you know?
Absolutely.
So many types of people from so many walks of life. And if you're going to be coming out with this super important message and you want to be sharing that shit,
yeah,
this is a place to be.
Absolutely. And I love that you can just do whatever here and people just don't pay attention.
Right.
Like, I've made, like, music videos where I was just having the most erratic, bizarre behavior, like, on the train, and people were just, like, looking at their phones.
Literally.
Like, couldn't even be bothered.
Right.
Yeah. Well, okay, but that, I feel like, could also speak to this other sad part of New York now.
Yeah.
That is just, like, it's become kind of bland, and people aren't, like, out there trying to find cool art. They're here to, like, make a lot of money.
Right.
And live in really expensive apartments and push the artists and poor people out.
No, it's so true. And I blame the tech companies.
Devil's advocate.
I blame tech because they, like, definitely...
Who are moving into, like,
so
Bushwick,
much.
Right?
I know.
Get out.
Bushwick is in Silicon Valley. I'm like, what?
Nobody asked you.
I know. Williamsburg
Horrible.
Is already right. done. Like, it's
yeah.
already
right.
ruined. And then they're moving. I mean, if they come to Bed-Stuy, I will.
Revolt.
Out.
You're ready.
I will
out.
Fucking.
You're ready to leave.
Fuck someone up. Yeah, no.
I was like, get out of my neighborhood.
Literally,
just
bye.
Leave. Yeah. And it's, like, a problem. Like, the whole wealth disparity and, like, this time in human existence. It's never been so extreme where there's so, like, such poverty and such extreme wealth that's held by such few people. I mean, I guess maybe, like, the kings of, like, the Middle Ages. But
sure.
Do we want to be, like, the kings in the Middle Ages and the peasants working the serfs working in the fields?
It's funny because I lived in L.A. for a few years, and I remember one day I lived in West Hollywood, which was nice, but I would still, like, walk around the neighborhood, and if I would look in a certain direction, like, the Hollywood Hills were behind me, where, like, that's where the super rich people live.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is, like, medieval times. You can look up to the top of the mountain and see the castles.
Right.
And then,
right.
like, the serfs are, like, working the land below them.
Yeah. It's so like wild.
Actually
set up like that.
Wild. I was watching this documentary about just, like, trash and how, like, that is telling the story between, like, the wealth disparity. Like, how because people are so wealthy, they're just throwing away things that aren't actually trash.
Right.
It's just they just are like, I don't want this boat. I'll just throw it away.
Right.
And then, you know, someone, like, a family of five is like, I'll just live here. You know? And it's like, or they're eating the waste. We have so much food waste. And people are, like, also, like, trying to live off of it, but it's the access to that food waste is blocked by corporations.
Right.
Like Walmart will lock up their dumpsters where people can't get all the food they're throwing away, which that could feed so many people.
Wow.
And it's just like, this is such a problem.
That's crazy.
It is.
Also, rich people don't even want to see trash. It's like, let's put that somewhere.
Right.
We don't know where the trash goes.
Right.
We don't know where landfills are, barges.
Blind eye.
Right.
Yeah.
It's fucked up.
Yeah. Okay, so when did you then pivot into music and why?
So I have a desperate need for attention. I love when people
art,
look at
sign?
Me and, like, clap, Leo.
Yes.
You're like, so if people are looking at my art, that's not me, that's my art. So
but
how
it's like,
do I...
look at me moving around.
Right.
So I was dating a noise musician. We were in a band and the band was a little noisy, but, like, the whole thing of the band, it was called the Sugar High Gang.
Ooh.
I can't really sing, but I was like, I bet you I could learn how to rap. So I was like starting out rapping about really dumb stuff, like Smurfs. I had a song called Smurfs. The hook was just like, Smurfs are blue, writes itself. You know, I wrote a song about trapper keepers, about wearing spandex pants and how it, like, makes me feel great. So I was just like, let me just think about the
super
most
relatable.
Yeah.
The most, like, silly things. I just wanted to write about, like, super silly, like, basic stuff.
Yeah.
And then when we broke up, I was just like, I just want to do music still. Like, I really like this. It's fun, but let me push it. Like, let me step up my puss because this, I cannot get into my 30s still rapping about Smurfs.
No.
Not the best look.
Right.
So I was just like, okay, let me just step up my puss. And then that's when I started kind of writing more about, like, because the politics were always part of me. It was always something that was important. It was always part of my art. So I was like, why wouldn't I just make my music also political?
Yeah. Awesome.
Make some real noise.
Yeah, so it was very easy for you to start writing those kinds of lyrics?
Yeah, I mean, for me with lyrics, I'm just literally writing how I feel. I'm trying not to filter myself, and then I'll, like, polish it. Because if I write something, like, corny, then I'm like, that sounds corny. But I'll write down all my thoughts first, and they could be corny. And then I'll just, like, polish them so it's, like, seems, like, still, like, relatable, but, like, not such corny rhymes.
Sure. And then how easy was it also to perform those songs? Like, when I saw you performing, you did Hump Day, for example, right? And I'm like, whoa, I've never seen a woman like singing about masturbation on stage before, and like the song is awesome, and also she seems so comfortable, like this is her jam, like she's just up there doing her thing, and all the women in this room were like, holy shit, this is amazing. What? I relate to these lyrics, but I've never heard this in a public space before. You know, it's like a lot of emotions.
Yeah, I think it's just been like a buildup of just like performing for so long.
Yeah.
Because I've been like, I was in Sugar High Gang for like 3 years, and I've been doing the Miss Ease project for like 6 or 7.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I mean, I guess I'm just like, it's fine. I just don't think it should be stigmatized. I think if I want to touch my pussy and like, these are the ways I like to do it, and I want to talk about it because men are constantly talking about their penises, their dicks. Everything's just like, oh, yo, my dick is this and that. And it's like, I'm tired of hearing about that. And like, I can also talk, you know, I can also say that in a way that is almost more, I think it's more interesting that a woman's talking about masturbating because it is something that can be so stigmatized. And there's so many women that arrive to partnered sex without ever touching their own genitalia and knowing how to take their own pleasure. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, let's just break that stigma. Yeah. Let's like have women feel like empowered, non-binary people too, like everyone who's not a cis man feel empowered by their own sexuality and their own genitalia and their own pleasure and figuring out what that is and not having that shame. And it could be like a lot of my music's really funny and silly because it's like these are things that are stigmatized, but let's just like laugh about it and let's like make it like comfortable and approachable and not like it's something preachy or serious, but we can also like candidly talk about it.
Totally.
Hell yeah.
So when you say, do you use Miss Eves as the name of your project, or like in a public space, do you refer to yourself as Miss Eves, or you're just Shanthony?
I'm just Shanthony, and that's the thing. Like people always like, and I need to stop doing this at shows. People are like, hey, what's up? And I'm like, hey, I'm Shanthony. I just give them my government name because I'm like, that's me,
right?
But I should just be like, I'm Miss Eves, so at least they can like remember me more, know, because I don't want people, because I don't like using Facebook or anything, and I'm like really like I don't want to talk to, like, that many strangers, you know?
Right.
I don't want that many people sliding into, like, Shanthony's DMs. Right. I should just be, like, at a show, if I meet them in a show context, Miss Eves.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
That's how it should be. That way you can keep some element of your private life to yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's, like, that whole Gaga, and I don't even know what the... What's Lady Gaga's real name?
Stephanie.
Or Halsey. It's like Ashley. Maddie. Yeah, whatever. Point is, you got to keep a part of yourself to yourself, because otherwise you'll lose yourself.
Exactly. And it's also, too, like... I mean, I'm a little bit more, like, in your face with the Miss Ease project than I am as Shanthony. And so, like, people get confused. Like, you're so brave. You're never sad or scared. I'm like, I'm human.
Right.
I'm still sad and scared sometimes. Like, what are you talking about?
Totally.
And how much of what you're doing by using hip-hop is, like, reacting to what already exists in hip-hop, too? And the misogyny that's already in hip-hop and all that.
Yeah. Well, I really... love hip-hop, and I think that's like part of what I'm doing is coming from a love of hip-hop. And yeah, some of it is like a reaction. Like I have this video called TNT where I just objectify a bunch of men, like hardcore. Like I feed this guy like a doggy biscuit, I have him on like a chain. You know, it's just like all these guys are just like twerking with their pets, and it's just like, how can I like objectify men the way women have been objectified? So it is like that reaction. Because, I mean, because we live in such a patriarchy, of course, hip-hop is going to be a reflection of that.
Right.
You know?
Right. So, or not, if you're making
or
it.
Or not. But I'm just saying, like, if people are, like, mindlessly making it.
Totally.
You know? Yeah. Like, and so that's why I'm just, like, trying to challenge that notion. Like, yeah, it doesn't have to be that way.
Right.
Yeah.
Making people more conscious.
Right.
Like, you're, I really want to, and maybe you were going to get to this. But I really want to talk about your the body project.
Oh, the Everybody Project.
Yes, I love that because I think a lot of young women / non-binary people / people in general have grown up seeing a certain type of person.
Right.
And that's like what's beautiful, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So seeing all the different people that you have on that feed, I'm like, oh my God, I can relate to this person. Or, you know, all the days where I think I look like a fat little greasy piglet.
Yeah.
Like maybe I looked cute that day. You know, the point is that it's just like there needs to be a platform for more people to see more people like themselves.
Absolutely, and that's why I made it. Like, when I first moved to New York, I was just feeling, like, bad about myself, and I was not a photographer. Like, the first photos I took for that project were horrendous. but I was just like, this needs to exist. Let me figure out how to, like, teach myself how to be a photographer and, like, also start this project. Because I wanted to show, like, all these different body types. One, society is super ageist.
Yep.
So it's just, like, you know, if you're not, like, super, like, taught and young, then you're, like, useless. But it's, like, we're just, like, this is just a casing for who we are. Like, it's not saying, like, how funny we are, like how kind we are, how we engage with people, how much we can give is just our bodies.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of times it's like people just want to look at your body and make your body become you.
Exactly.
And I wanted to dig deeper and like be like, no, like let me ask people what they actually like about themselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You do that with your music videos too.
Yeah.
Like the video for, is it Single AF?
Oh, yeah.
It's like
cast
the older woman.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that video.
Thank you.
And it's like, I don't think I've ever seen a woman that age and is like just performing a song like that in a video, which is so depressing when you realize you haven't seen it before.
Right.
And then you're just like so grateful that someone finally fucking did it. So
yeah. And that's what I was trying to do with that video. I was just like, I want to show. Because that's the narrative. If you're over, like, 40 and you're single, you're, like, miserable.
Yeah, you're practically dead.
Yeah, you're practically dead. You're worthless. Right. You're just a sad person. But it's just like, no, what if she's having a fabulous life and she's feeling great and fun?
Yeah.
And fun.
Fun.
Yeah, I, so fun fact is I'm shaving my head this Saturday.
Yes!
And what's so interesting to me is the reactions that I get from people. And just going back to what you're saying.
When you
in
tell
terms
them that
of,
you plan to.
When I tell them that I'm going to shave my head. Yeah. A lot of men are like, oh, well, do you,
are you sure?
Are you sure you want to do that, though? Because, like, you know, if you do want to date a man, maybe they might not want to date
just
you.
Just like in case you want to date a man.
In case you decide to date a man, they might not want you. Or you're going to look too scary. You're going to come off like this or like that. And I'm like, first of all, everyone fucking relax. It's my head.
It's your head.
And like, why are you going to come and say that I'm going to look? I'm still the same me on the inside.
Right. And you still have the same face.
It's literally me without the fucking head or the hair.
I'm like, are you donating your hair?
With the head.
So I will donate it if it's healthy enough.
Right.
My mom and my aunt both have alopecia and they're both bald. Like they have no hair anywhere on their body. So for me, it's more than just like a liberation movement or like doing something new, but it's also like supporting and also like reminding other women, like you don't need your hair to be beautiful or for people to look at you and think like, oh, she has a great cut or like, oh, blah, blah, and judge you on appearance. I want people to like look at me and talk to me.
No, absolutely.
You know,
you're just like stripping down those like layers.
Yeah, but fascinating when you start talking to people about altering your appearance drastically like that.
Oh,
all of a sudden,
gosh.
It's like your fucking Shrek or you're a new person. They're like, oh, my God.
But that's so funny how men are about like hair on your head, but then they like freak out if there's hair on your pussy.
On your,
and it's just like, okay, listen, there's this one guy I was talking to the other day and he was just like, I don't like women with hair on their pussy. But I was like, how is your ass?
Right.
Is your ass hairy? He said, yes. And I said, how are your balls? Are they hairy? He's like, yes. And I was like, you're trash.
Yes.
That is actually trash. Like, that you are going to have walk around here with your hairy ass, probably stinky balls, and and I'm just like, and you're going to tell a woman, like, hair grows there. That is natural.
Bye. I love that music video of yours, too, where it's like painting it, doing whatever you want. I was like, fuck yeah, celebrate pussy hair.
Yeah.
Let's go. Bedazzle.
Yeah, bedazzle it.
Right, Jesse?
Is it? No, I'm just trying to think, like, is it that at some point society switched on that point, and so now men think it's disgusting, or is it, like no hair makes them think of, like, a young woman, so that's what's going on
I think
on
what
there?
It is like, actually, it's porn.
Yeah, I and was literally
Yeah, it's just porn, and, like, and porn does it because, like, it's a movie, so you want the angles, and you want, I mean...
Right.
People need to realize porn is not sex. Like, porn does not reflect sex. The stuff that people do in porn does not always feel good in real life. It's just for, like, movie magic.
Mm-hmm.
Just as in, like, the way that people cook in movies, that's not going to taste good.
Right.
It's just for, like, the magic of it.
Right.
And so I think just because it's so pervasive that people watch so much porn, they're like, oh, this is how it should be.
Right.
And it's distorting. It's, like, ruining people.
Right. And hairy pussies are, like, a fetish.
Right.
In a different category.
It's so weird. It's just like, that's just normal.
Do you think that the ideal solution would be no porn or porn made by more kinds of people for more kinds of people?
Well, the only porn I watch is Crash Pad. I don't know if you've heard of that. It's like a queer, it's a queer porn site.
Oh.
And it's like all different body types. Yeah. I mean, it's paid, but I feel like we should start paying for porn because that's how you get like good body positive, porn that's not promoting rape culture, you know, you get like healthy porn. So I really like that Crash Pad. I recommend it.
Okay.
And it's
so you would
like,
say more representative porn.
Yeah, and there's all body types. There's
that.
Like trans people. There's like everyone. It's just like very inclusive.
Yeah,
that's exactly. Yeah, I vote for that. Expand porn with more female directors.
Yes, exactly.
Because regular porn, that shit is male gazy as fuck.
So male gaze. Mm-hmm.
Like the lesbian porn on male directed sites is literally. I'm like, in what fucking world do people scissor like that? A. B. Like, why are they? It's just, it's so, like, you know, that heavy hand was like a man's view the entire time.
Oh, absolutely.
Four men.
This is, yeah.
I have the funniest conversations with men, and I'll just tell them they're trash. But like, this one guy, he was just like, oh yeah, like I'm becoming more feminist now. I only watch lesbian porn. I was like, I
bye.
Can't with you.
Literally, bye.
Because like literally the porn, the lesbian porn that's made by like men, it's so male gazy.
It's so male gazy.
It's not like even.
Like we have a friend who would say something like that.
Yes, we do.
That's hilarious.
Porn.
Porn.
Talk about porn all day.
No, but I just I agree with everything you guys just said, but when you were talking about how like porn is not real, it made me wonder, even if like all porn was made by queer women, would it still be misleading because it's still movies?
Oh, but I think that's just the thing. People need to say like porn is fun because porn is fun.
Right.
But like, you know what's better when I'm having sex? A conversation with my partner about what they want.
Right.
And about, hey, like, you know,
negotiate
what
boundaries.
Are you into? Let's negotiate them boundaries. That's sexy.
Yes. Yeah.
No, completely agree. I agree. I think there's a way to direct it, a way to have it exist in the porn world without being so male gazy, but still showing diversity, but also reminding people like, this is just a movie. Go have sex with the person you want to have sex
with.
Exactly. IRL.
Yeah.
Then you can touch those people.
Right. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. That's the same.
So we are recording this a week after the midterm elections.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which I'm guessing you feel like okay about how those went.
And it's getting like
better and better.
Yes. It's like,
what? I didn't think
it keeps giving. And I'm just like, fingers crossed for Stacey Abrams, fingers crossed for Andrew Gillum.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let them come through. Like,
come
seriously.
Through.
Count
like,
those votes.
All these, like, Republicans are repressing votes, gerrymandering district. It's like wild.
Bye.
And I'm just glad they're in there for the fight. Like, I'm one of my clients is Black to the Future. It's run by Alicia Garza. And she's like, pushing for these, like, supporting these candidates.
Uh-huh.
Stacey Abrams is one of them, Andrew Gillum. And I'm like, yes! When I was, like, seeing that it wasn't over, I was that feels so good.
That's amazing. So you dropped a little treat. Was it right after the...
Oh, my gosh. Let me tell you about that. Because I was like, I had to teach myself After Effects to do that animation video.
It's really good.
You did that.
Yes. Yeah. And I was like, let me just learn how to do this before the midterms. Let me just drop it, you know. But it's like, it's been a little, I need to, like, I want more people to watch it, but it's not like it's something press will pick up, because like most press outlets, I think, can't be that opinionated about impeaching Trump, because they will alienate some of their base who are maybe moderate to, like, you know. And so that's the position I'm in. So now I'm just trying to get the people to see it.
But you can report that an artist has dropped a political track without being political.
Right.
Oh, that makes me angry. Well, it's called Santa Please. It's fucking
so
amazing.
Fucking good.
It's also really catchy.
Yes.
Even if you love Trump, maybe you'd like it, because it's just like, it's a good earworm.
It really is.
But it's basically asking Santa for impeachment.
Exactly.
For whatever holiday you celebrate over the winter.
All of them.
Right. It could be sold. This.
That's right.
You can still ask Santa. I'm Jewish. I have Santa, and I will definitely be asking for impeachment. And this will be the soundtrack for my Christmas wishes. But it's really,
anthem.
Really good.
It is the anthem.
So is this a standalone, or do you have more new music coming? What's going on?
Well, I'm talking to someone about working on an EP, but that's just like in the process, so I can't even really be like, that's a sure thing.
And you also just dropped one.
I just dropped an EP called Me AF in August.
And Feminasty was the full-length album that came out last year.
Yeah, it came out last year.
So you put out lots of new music fairly recently.
Right. And so I'm just, like, trying to figure out what I'm doing for 2019. I'm trying to work on, booking, like, a Midwest tour. And I'm also talking to, like, doing a small tour in Germany and the UK.
Oh, sick.
And so I'm, like, working on that
now. I feel like you would do so well in Germany.
Crush it.
Oh,
in
Berlin?
Exactly.
Yeah, I went there I was just there, like, 3 months ago. And so now, like, I'm using my contacts from there. Like, it's easier to book the shows going forward. But, yeah, it's just hard because I'm, like, so DIY. And sometimes I'm just, like, I'm just so underground. Like, I don't know, like, how can I expose my music to more people? But, you know, just keep fighting the good fight, I guess.
Take that shit all over.
But at the same time, like, you have glowing reviews from some pretty mainstream media.
Yeah.
So I guess it's just, like, that snowball effect just picking up more as you
go along.
Right,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well,
we're honored to be part of the
merch.
Oh, that's a good question.
I would get a sweater.
I have a Thunder Thighs t-shirt. I design all my merch myself. So I have like a Thunder Thighs t-shirt, a Miss Eve t-shirt. I can give you guys stickers.
Yes.
We love stickers.
So I have a lot of sticker options.
Yeah. Where can listeners find your merch?
Right now they'll just have to email me and I'll. It's like I took down my merch store. It got like so complicated because it was just like I did not like the tax situation. My accountant, she's in North Carolina. She's like, a-durk, a-durk, I don't know. And I'm like, girl, honey, I'm not even trying to play with IRS. So I just took it down until I could figure out what was going on.
So relatable. So funny.
I fucking feel that.
Or is it time for the hot takes wheel?
Yeah. Okay.
All right, Alana, prop it up.
This bad boy is our hot takes wheel. Oh, shit. Okay. So basically, it has a bunch of topics.
Oh.
You spin the wheel and pull at it. Don't peek.
Okay, I was like,
you gotta pull at it hard.
Okay.
And then whatever we stop on, we talk about quickly.
Okay.
A hot take. So,
all right. Okay. Give it a spin.
Give it a whirl.
Like Vanna White.
Boom. Yes. Okay, Jesse, what is it? Oh shit! It's
can a woman or non-binary person perpetuate the male gaze, or does your identity define what your gaze is?
Oh
my
god! That's a very interesting question.
Oh my god!
But I would say yes.
Yes.
Because I feel like, a lot of times. Because, like, the male gaze is defining what's acceptable, what's attractive.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, if there's, like, a woman who's very, like higher up, I guess, in pop culture, that's just, like... And now I'm saying this because that's how I'm conforming. And
yes.
I'm, like, kind of showing all the other, like, women and girls that are my fans or non-binary people that are my fans, this is how you have to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is perpetuating the male gaze.
I agree. Yeah. And I feel like it happened a lot. I mean, obviously, it still happens now, but, like, our moms and grandmas... You know, we were raised to be like, well, you know, you have to sit like this because that's what a lady does. And
exactly.
My mom, when I used to burp at the dinner table, used to say, how are you ever going to get a man burping like that at the table?
Right.
And my mom is a fucking G, by the way. But shit that when she said that,
they don't
I remember
realize.
Being like, well, I can burp all I want. And if the man or woman doesn't like me, then fuck you.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like we're born like as little people. That's what the women before us were taught to be.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. It's like how they say you can't break the rules until you understand the rules.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not good that this is how we've all grown up, but you do learn what has traditionally been the male gaze.
Mm-hmm.
And so then that's what you start regurgitating. And then hopefully at a certain point you realize what you're doing and you realize what you've been taught is
right.
one way of seeing the world.
Yes.
And then you can break it and
yes.
then perpetuate your own gaze. But yeah, I think there's tons of women out there and non-binary people and all of us are furthering this system along without knowing it,
mm-hmm.
which is why like we want to do this podcast to just be like, time out. Let's think about what we're all putting out into the world and be intentional about it.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
And let's talk about this stuff.
Yeah.
Like people for some reason feel like I can't really say that out loud or I don't know if I can talk about this with people. And we just participated in conversation or we participate rather in conversation that's heavily directed by the male gaze.
Right.
And God forbid we bring up something like this. Everyone's like, oh, taboo, time out. Bye. Go run away.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so for us, it's like this is a space where even though we don't know everything, and I say that all the time, we don't know everything about everything. We're not the ones to educate. We just want to fucking talk. Like we want to bring people into our salon, as Jesse calls it, and just talk.
Right.
Because this shit is important.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, there needs to be the pioneers that are late talk. And there needs to be the people that are starting to have the conversations, and then those conversations get easier.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Because we want the kids. Do it for the kids.
Do it for the kids. Yeah.
Children of the future.
Children of the future.
But. I don't know. I'm in awe of the work that you're doing.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's
thank
so
you.
Important.
Thank you.
And
absolutely.
If we can, like, expose your art to 3 more people, then I feel like we've done our work today.
And that is great. I mean, the 3 people, that is vital.
You know, 3
you
people
never know.
Tell 3
you
more
never
people.
Know
that's
the
right.
3 people. That's how it happens.
That's
and
right.
That's what I was talking about, the Santa song. I just think that, like, it's not going to be the press who's going to tell that story. It's going to be people sharing it with their friends that are going to, like, get the word out.
That's
Hell
the resistance. Baby,
yes.
All right.
That's also math.
Well, Shanthony, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for
guys,
having me.
Miss Eves, find the music. It's all the places that you listen to
buy
music.
Buy the merch when it's ready.
Buy the merch. Go to the website.
Email.
Watch the videos, which are huge on YouTube.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Millions of views.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is amazing. All right, guys, remember to subscribe to the Female Gaze Podcast on iTunes, Spotify, anywhere you find your podcasts. Follow us. I'm
Female Gaze Pod at Female Gaze Pod on Instagram and Twitter. Throw us a like, a follow, a DM if you're nasty.
Bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.